What's up, y'all? Welcome to the Sports Medicine Broadcast, episode 70, The Story of Us, recorded February 14th, 2014. So I want to start off by saying happy Valentine's Day to all of you. I see Aisha brought in a box of chocolates and some candy, and everybody else looks like they got some candy or something going on. So
not me.
You're loved, George. George bought himself some Starbucks.
My mom's bought me Starbucks, and I bought me a Reese's from the vending machine.
Okay, so here is what happened. Originally, I had scheduled my beautiful wife, Sarah, to be here with us on Friday, February 14th, Valentine's Day, and we were going to talk about the story of us. And then when I talked to the dentist, they gave me February 14th or March 14th as the dates that they could come, and March 14th is spring break, so I couldn't do it March 14th. So my wife is here with us today because the dentist called and his dad is in the hospital, so he went up there to San Antonio to see him. So, you know, they called me early enough that I could call Sarah and we could kind of make do of the show today of what I originally planned. So I know that there might be a couple of our family members listening live or maybe even just recorded to hear the story. So if you're listening live, I told your parents about it, so maybe they'll comment. Nice. You can tweet using hashtag TheSMB. Hashtag the SMB, and then that'll show up there on the computer, and Brianna will see that, and she'll ask the questions or respond or something like that. So just about every Wednesday, sportsmedicinebroadcast.com has our information, so you can watch it live. Kind of what's going to happen is Sarah and I are just going to tell our story and then things that we've learned and whatnot. If you hear children in the background or I get paused, well, that's because my two children are here, so it just kind of adds to the whole effect of us telling our story.
I like
and
his little
how it relates to
shoes.
Us
so
now.
Cute.
So I wanted to start off giving everybody a chance to talk. Who is celebrating Valentine's Day today? Who has a Valentine?
Me.
Kind of.
So I'm going to ask you in just a second if you know what you're doing or if you have a plan for what you're doing. And then I'm going to ask those of you that aren't celebrating Valentine's Day, what are you doing for Singles Awareness Day?
What?
Singles Awareness Day is if you don't have a Valentine date, then it's Single Awareness Day.
Oh, that must be depressing.
So it's sad?
That must be really depressing.
I don't know. Single awareness. All right, who has got single awareness? George, you're hashtagging single awareness.
Okay. So I got invited to go fifth wheeling?
Third wheel.
With Lorena and her partner. And Candy and her partner.
Oh my god.
Or I could just stay at home and finish my online course.
Okay, so and again, let me go ahead and warn you, if there's a lot of noise or if something sounds like there's a penguin or a kid screaming or somebody kicking the microphone's falling over, Sam is 18 months and he is walking around the studio, 19 months, and Jonah is 3.5 and he is currently sitting in my beautiful wife's lap, but who knows what he'll be doing. So again, we're going to just make it work. All right, so we're going to start it off by talking about how we met. You want to start, babe, or you? I didn't actually introduce anybody. I just skipped right over that. So might as well go ahead and throw that in. Now that you've already heard from all of us, pretty much, I am your host, Jeremy Jackson. With me today, sharing their love stories is...
George.
Marlon.
Edith.
Brianna.
Jocelyn.
Lorena.
Alex.
Aisha.
Marissa.
And then...
Sarah.
That's my beautiful wife. For guest introductions, Sarah and I have been married for 8 years almost.
Almost nine.
And we met when we were in college at Houston Baptist University. We dated for about a year, and then we were engaged for about 6 months. And so her current position is a domestic goddess. So if you don't know what that is, you can Google it, domestic goddess. And then she also is the children's minister at our church. Do you want to start off telling about how we met?
How we met. Okay.
Go ahead.
All right. Well, we were both at school at HBU, and we had some mutual friends, and I found out that he had asked one of our friends about me, who I was, and so I remember one day I was walking through the cafeteria, and he said hi, and I'd never talked to him before, and I was like, oh, who's that? And so then we went to...
No. She was like, oh, who is that?
So then a little while later, we both went to a winter formal, a dance at the school, and we went with different people, actually. And it was kind of the same situation where we were sort of talking to the person, but not in a relationship, kind of. And the whole time at the dance, we were, like, making eyes at each other, even though we were with other people. So, yeah. So I kept hoping he would ask me to dance, and he never did. But so then the next day, I think it was the day before winter break, before Christmas break. And so I was in the cafeteria with my roommate. We were talking, and Jeremy came and sat down next to me, and we started talking and found out that he lived not too far from me. Well, at Houston Baptist, you get people from all over the Houston area, so that was kind of interesting. We were only about 15 minutes away from each other, so he said, well, we should hang out over the break. So I said, okay, and kind of gave him my number, and so he called, and we talked a few times, and then I don't know how far you want me to go with.
All right, but let me kind of go back to the beginning. All right, so Sarah is going to step away to because my kids are running around doing who knows what.
We have
Marlon, you can go over there and babysit. All right, so Sarah and I.
She out of line. She was out of line for that.
Sarah was dating somebody else her freshman year at Houston Baptist, so she was coming to the dorms.
Trying to lift that out.
She was coming to the dorms. She was actually in the dorms waiting for that guy. And so, like, I was going to the weight room. I was going to go work out. And I remember walking by and seeing her. And then, you know, sometimes you'll turn around. Like, I remember turning around at the door before I went out of the building and checking her out again. So I remember the first time I, like, noticed her. And then, you know, but she was dating somebody. So then it was probably about a year later that I saw her. And I was a pretty friendly guy. I said hi to a lot of people, but I think the difference was like she said, I asked my friend Ryan, I was like, hey, that girl works with you at Lifeway, right? So what's her name? And then, you know, he said, Sarah. I was like, so the next time I saw her, I said, hi, Sarah. So then at that point, she just melted. She was, you know, butter in my hand. She said, oh, he said my name. So, you know, after that, it was end of story. No, but then we did go to that dance. All right, so then, you know, we were with other people. So I was trying to be respectful and not dance with somebody else whenever I was there with a date. And so, but it, like she said, it was the next day. I saw her sitting in the cafeteria. I walked in. I didn't know her. I'd just been saying hi to her. I just walked in, sat down next to her, and started talking. And then the girl that I went to the dance with came in and sat beside me.
So that was awkward.
Yeah. And it wasn't planned. I was just like, oh, hey. And she's like, oh, the other girl was trying to, you know, talk to me because she was interested in me, but I was interested in Sarah, and so it was like,
yeah.
So, you know, that was the story of how we met. But then, like you said, we exchanged numbers. I called her. We hung out a couple of times over the Christmas break, and then started dating. Now, let me tell you, the first time I am not smooth. Okay, the first time was it the first time we hung out or the second?
I think it was the second.
Second time we hung out, I had me and a couple of buddies. We went over there. It was late. We watched a movie or something. And I'm telling you guys, this is just dumb. Okay.
Yes.
So we get in, after we leave, we get in the car and we go by a gas station. We're like, hey, let's get some toilet paper and go wrap our house. Really? Aww. Really? What am I thinking?
Yeah. It's like 1 o'clock in the morning by the time they had left. So my parents were out of town and it was me and my sister and a couple friends were staying the night at the house. And so I was already like, I had washed my face. I was in like my pajamas and everything. And so, yeah, they go and get toilet paper. And then he calls me on the phone and he says, hey, I need you to come get me. I was like, what are you talking about? He said, I need you to come get us. We're on the side of the road. And I was like, oh, geez, you're kidding me. So I go and I tell my sister, you know, I'll be back in a little bit. And I go and put on some clothes. And I'm thinking, this guy's never seen me without me. I'm a girl, you know?
Yeah.
So I get ready and it's, I walk out of the house and I just see toilet paper all in the tree. And I called him and I said, where are you? He said, I'm on the side of the road. And I was like, do you swear to me that you are stuck on the side of the road? And he's like, I'm on the side of the road. And I look down the street and sure enough, the goofballs are parked in their car, like right down the road from me. I was like, you've got to be kidding me.
So I'm not sure why I would think to do that, why I thought that would be funny. This girl that I want to date, just go wrap her house. But then to make matters worse, so then we go in and we help her clean. I help her clean it up some. Mm-hmm. And then I step in dog poop in her front yard and get it on the carpet in the living room.
Oh my God.
So
I forgot that.
I am not sure how we ended up staying together.
I don't know.
But I'm going to tell you a couple more stories as we go through.
But he was also like 22 years old wrapping my house. Yeah. Not like a, you know, 18 year old.
I know.
Old enough to know better.
Yeah, that's what I'm telling you. I was not smart. And I mean, Sarah didn't mention, but I was apparently always friends with girls in college, but I was never, I don't have any female friends, but...
Every time I saw him, he was studying with a girl.
Exactly,
so,
I was studying.
Every time I saw him, he was walking with girls. So when he got my number, I was like, okay, sure, we can hang out.
Right, because to me, I was just studying with those other girls. I wasn't interested in them. Apparently, some of them didn't like Sarah after we started dating. And so I was really just clueless. Like, I don't know. I mean, you would think I would have some idea of what to do, how to act. It's not like I'd never dated anybody before, but... Just not smooth. All right, so we're dating for a little while, and then one of my friends says, "Hey, let's grow mustaches." Does anybody think anybody here think mustaches are attractive?
No,
only
I
hate it
on some guys. The beard, and
like no
the
standalone little, mustache. Like
no
standalone mustache. Like nothing here. Nothing
no, no,
here.
No, no, no.
It depends.
I don't like facial hair. It really depends. Like, it's so nasty.
All right, so
like Bernie Mac.
It scares me.
The consensus is no mustache. All right, so you know I grow out all this facial hair right here, my chin. Yeah, I grow it all out, and then I shave off everything here. So I shave off my little chin strap thing, and leave just a mustache. And we've probably been dating like what, a month?
Something like that.
So I'd been growing my hair out. I think one of those pictures over there. That picture. Oh, I have a beanie on, but I had. Hair is probably, I don't know, 3 inches long or something like that, but I had kind of combed it out, so it was like a white afro. So I had like a white afro and a mustache, and I mean, we just started dating. I don't know what I was thinking.
Remember when we went to the Astros, and then the trainer had like a big mustache?
Yeah.
Oh,
it wasn't that big. It wasn't as big as Rex's. Rex's was famous for his mustache. Mine was like a 20-year-old white guy, so
it was bad.
We don't grow facial hair that much. It was
bad.
Really bad. And I don't know, I kept it for like, what, a month?
Too couple long, weeks? Too whatever long. It was.
Too long.
It was bad.
So, just to say, we didn't start off very well, and that's mostly because of me, because I don't know. But I mean, I think that's really just who I am, is I'm kind of goofy, and I'm not really concerned about what other people think. I know one time when I was riding the bus to the basketball game, and I had my white afro, people were sitting behind me throwing stuff in it.
Aww.
So I found like toothpicks and other things in my hair after the game. But, whatever. So, anything else you want to share about our dating relationship?
Once y'all started dating, did y'all know that y'all were right for each other?
All right, well, I'll jump in there. apparently it was meant to be, because I dated a girl named Sarah in Virginia when I was a camp counselor, and then I dated another girl named Sarah at HBU.
You
yeah.
just went after
And actually,
me I was
it gets
Sarah.
Even better
That's
because the second girl named Sarah, her name was Sarah Elizabeth. And then this Sarah is Sarah Elizabeth. So, see, I was getting closer each time. So, obviously, by the time I met her, it was meant to be. But
we actually have a pin at our house that has Sarah on it that belonged to one of his ex-girlfriends.
Oh, my gosh.
No, I bought it for her. I bought it for the other girl, but I guess I never gave it to her or something. It's like, hey, this works out. She makes it easy. And so... That second girl that I dated, I liked her a lot, and she just, like, dumped me. She just, I don't want to date anymore. Oh, okay, thanks. And so then, you know, whenever I started dating this Sarah, it hurt a lot, or I was afraid to get hurt. And so, like, about a week after we started dating, I was telling my best friend that, it's like, dude, I don't know if I can do this. I got to figure out how I can break up with her. And he was like, dude, do not break up with her. She is definitely a keeper. And, you know, because it's my best friend and I trust him, I did.
I like and, Kevin.
Yeah. I think Jonah and Sam like Kevin, too. Otherwise, they wouldn't have ended up here. And so, to answer your question, right away, no, I didn't know. But I only dated about 4 girls my entire life, Sarah being one of them. And so, therefore, I didn't just date people to date people or, you know, always intended, if I was going to be dating somebody, for it to be somebody that I was going to marry. But like Sarah said, when we first started hanging out, she didn't think it was very serious, just because apparently I always had female friends. All right, we're going to move forward. Any more questions about the dating? No? I'm going to tell you about the proposal. All right, so I told you how badly I screwed up when we were dating, but I think I really got it right with the proposal. So it was about a year after we started dating. It was right around Christmas time when we started dating. So it was during the Christmas break whenever I asked her to marry me. So I took some artistic paper. I don't know. Do you know how to describe the paper?
It was like the kind that's like textured and had like rose petals in it. It was really pretty.
So I took that and I made 4 invitations, and I actually had my mom do calligraphy and, you know, said, will you please join me for this, this, or the other? And then we took some of the wax seal, like you'd see on like the old movies or whatever. And we, you know, we wax sealed the letter, and then I gave each that invitation. And the first one we went to.
And a present.
And a present. Yeah, and each present had a theme leading up to the main event. So the first night, the first invitation was, would you join me for a dinner that takes us back to the beginning? So the first date was at P.F. Chang's, our first official date. We went out to eat that night that Sarah thought we were just friends at Green Ghost, but our first official date was P.F. Chang's. And so we went there and, you know, had dinner. And then I gave her the gift there, and it was a lighter, right? I think the first one was a lighter.
Okay. Well, maybe it was the last first one. Invitation I had the Beatles CDs.
Okay.
And then I guess it was the...
No, the lighter might have been the last thing.
Yeah, I thought it was. I think it was like a Batman beanie was the first one.
So Sarah really likes Batman. So I know Mariah likes Batman too.
Oh, I like Batman.
And I think... So I gave her that invitation and the Batman beanie. And I said, hang on to this. You'll need it at some point. So then the next night I gave her an invitation. Or that night in the present was an invitation saying, would you please join me again for dinner tomorrow? And... This one will represent somewhere where we currently are. So I used to teach aquatic science in Fort Bend. So, marine biology, aquatic science, dealing with fish and things like that. So we went to, anybody think of a restaurant?
Aquarium.
We went to the aquarium. I had actually never been there. Good job, Alex. And have you ever been there?
Yeah.
All right. So we went to the aquarium, had a really nice dinner, enjoyed our time. And
Fed
the stingrays. Yeah. Anybody ever done fed the stingrays at the aquarium? Yeah.
I freaked pretty out cool, a little huh? bit. I went for like the little ones, and he's waiting for the huge ones, and I pull my hand back. I didn't like him.
So that was a lot of fun. I actually forgot about that.
Uh-huh.
So, and I was probably pretty nervous throughout the thing. At this point, were you thinking that I was going to be proposing?
I didn't know because, well, you guys kind of know him. So he's like, he's not going to do what you like. He's the kind of guy where, like, if you say, okay, you need to do it this way, then he'll sometimes, like, find a way to do it another way just to kind of defy that. So, like, he knew that, I knew that it was coming. Like, I knew that he had talked to my dad and we had talked about it, you know, but I didn't know when. And so I thought, you know, it'd probably be Christmas Day. So then when I got the invitation, I was like, oh, okay, well, maybe it'll be the next night. And then I was like, well, maybe it'll be the next night. So then by that time, you know, you just get kind of like, all right, well, this is fun. You know, it'll happen whenever.
All right. So then that night at the aquarium, I gave you another present, either a Batman sweatshirt or a beach towel. And then said, you know, here's the invitation for the next night. And I forgot to tell this a while back when we had, I don't know, probably 6 months or so I'd been dating. And I was like, well, if I ever propose to you, it'll be at the Cheesecake Factory. And so...
What's my favorite?
Yeah. And so at the Cheesecake Factory, I'm sorry, on the invitation, it said, please bring this invitation and this present to what will be sure to be the sweetest night ever.
Yeah.
Something along those lines?
Something like that, yeah.
And so, you know, obviously...
So I thought that was it.
Yeah, so she's thinking Cheesecake Factory, and then when we get there, obviously she's thinking, oh, I remember what he said, you know, if I was going to propose, it would be there at the Cheesecake Factory.
And then I have to say, I was kind of split on that idea, because they have, like, those speed dating tables, where you're, like, 2 inches away from the next group, and I was like, I don't know if I really want that there, you know, but I'd get a ring either way, so.
Nice. Thanks, babe. And so then that night, I don't know, obviously when she opens up the invitation, she's probably expecting a ring, but there wasn't one. There was another invitation. And then at this night, I think there was a lighter.
That was the lighter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so what are you thinking there at that point?
I was expecting a diamond and I got a gas station thing. Like,
yeah, it was a nice, it was a long,
it, was a
it looked like an extra long match.
Yeah. Lighter. Yeah.
But why a lighter?
Well, it comes. Yeah.
Because there was another invitation.
Oh. It all works together.
And then so in this one, I said, please bring each of these gifts to on our next date. I don't remember what else I said.
I remember. I should have grabbed them.
Yeah, we should have.
I know.
And so, she had the beanie and the beach towel and the sweatshirt. And you know, if you can kind of get an idea of, and a matchstick or a lighter where we were going.
Wait, a beanie
to a concert?
It was cold.
Yeah, because it's January or December.
It was December 29th.
Okay, so she had a beanie, a sweatshirt, a lighter.
And
the beach. On the beach?
Oh, a bonfire.
All right, so then the next night we went to, or actually I had her sister and the guy she was dating then. They went down there and met my brother and my sister, and they set up like a little campfire, and it was supposed to be a tent, but it didn't end up working because the wind was too strong. So they set that stuff up. So I'm driving up and down the beach trying to find them because I think I had a cell phone, or it, for some reason either my phone wasn't working or I didn't want to call and say, hey, are you guys set up? And so I'm trying to find them, set up with the campfire on East Beach. So if you, you know, go down to Galveston, take a left instead of a right, East Beach. So I find them, and then, you know, we roast some hot dogs. And
but hold on. So he's trying to find them, and then he pulls up, and he says to me, like, I know something's going on, obviously. So he says to me, oh, look, I think those people need help with their fire. He says, stay here in the car. And so I wait in the car, and I watch him go up, and I was like, does he really think that I think he's just going to help random people? And I can see, and then I'm looking, because it's pretty far away where he parked. And I could finally make out. I was like, that's my sister. What's he doing? Like, he's trying to play this. And yeah, it was funny.
So I'm going to back up a little bit. I forgot I had made a T-shirt for this night. And it said, I heart Sarah. All right. And so I was supposed to be wearing my sweatshirt. But when I go to pick her up, I didn't put on my sweatshirt. So I kind of ruined the surprise a little bit. But then it kind of builds the excitement. So I'm wearing this T-shirt that says, I heart Sarah. So, you know, I really did do a lot of thinking and planning for this thing. And so anyways, we get there to the beach and we find them and we park. And they actually they stay down the way a little bit so that Sarah and I could kind of hang out by ourselves. And then they come over and my little brother had brought his guitar. So he was playing a song and stuff like that. And then
videotaped it.
Yeah, they videotaped it. So then, you know, obviously I get down on my knee and say, Sarah, look, you know, all those other dates, that's not who we are. That's not who I am. I'm not slacks and tie kind of guy, you know, jeans and T-shirt. That's who we are. And I think that's what our life is going to be together. Will you marry me? And of course she said yes.
I did.
So then, you know, we enjoy the night together. We get home and her parents had a banner up on the carport saying congratulations. And they had like an ice cream cake ready for us. And my family came over. And so it was a really cool night, and I think it just went really well.
Yeah.
Anything else?
I will say I was surprised I didn't cry. I don't know. I laughed. But
oh.
Yeah, whenever we talk about the wedding part, I was the same way. Like I'm an emotional person, but I think when I get like nervous or flustered, I just laugh, you know, like giggle like a little kid, I guess. But so I'm just like giggling through the whole thing. I'm like, yes, yes, yes.
And then what's really great is one of the pictures that we have of me and her standing in front of the car right after I proposed. We had just eaten s'mores. So I have like marshmallow on my lip up here in this really, you know, romantic picture. So
nice.
Yeah. We should have brought some of those pictures. I don't know.
I know.
I wasn't planning on doing this today. So
yeah.
I have an alibi, a defense, an excuse, something like that. All right. So then obviously 6 months later, we're going to get married. I don't know. You got much to say about the wedding day? I mean, it was really cool.
Do I have much to say?
Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, is there anything, you know, the story of the engagement is really cool, but there's not really it was a normal wedding. I cried.
It wasn't a normal wedding. It was our wedding. It was wonderful. It was very nice.
I remember standing in front of the church where I was waiting for Sarah to come down, you know, as I see people start walking, and my best man is standing right next to me, and Sarah's dad is the pastor of the church, so he was actually walking her down, and so her brother was standing in, because usually you'll have the pastor standing next to the groom while they walk down, and so that's kind of, her brother was standing in for her dad, so he was standing next to me, and he looks over to me and he's like, dude, I couldn't look at you anymore because, I mean, I'm standing there crying. And Sarah,
and I'm laughing, of course.
Yeah. And so she had, like, it's like they had just opened the doors for her to walk in. So I wasn't like bawling, but I mean, I was obviously crying because he was like, dude, I can't even look at you. So,
yeah, my brother was, he was trying so hard to kind of hold it together because we're pretty close, my brother and my sister and I. And so he was just like, dude, I couldn't even look at you. He was like, I looked at you for a second. I looked away really fast. And then my bridesmaids were like, it was over with them.
Yeah.
It was my best friend and then my sister and sister-in-law and then his two sisters. And oh, and my other friend, too. So, yeah, there were a lot of tears that day. But
yeah, it was fun. It was exciting. Yeah. And then the church, actually, you guys might know, Second Baptist Pasadena, it's right there off of Pasadena Boulevard behind, like, Jackson. It's kind of like catty corner. It's not the one that's right across the street, but it's kind of back there.
The big steeple.
Anyway, yeah, so there's a gym there, and the air conditioner wasn't working, and then we got married on June 11th. So she's wearing a wedding dress. I'm wearing a tuxedo, June 11th, in a gym with no air conditioning. It was hot.
Yeah.
I was sweating.
I remember at one point I backed up to a box fan and put the back of my dress over it so it would like blow air into the dress. So I was so sweaty. It was bad.
But it was a lot of fun. We had a good time with our family, and then we went to Tremont House and then went on a cruise to Cancun, Cozumel, and Belize. So that was all fun.
Cozumel, was it Cancun?
No, Cozumel, Belize, and
Progreso.
Yeah.
I remember getting in the car after the wedding and just rubbing my cheeks because they were so sore from smiling all day. It was tough.
So some of you had a 15. Anybody had one yet? Alex, did you have to smile a lot at your 15 for pictures?
Yes.
Your face hurt?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think I'd ever smiled so much in my life. And yeah, your face just hurts. Mm-hmm. But it was definitely worth it because I looked really good in pictures. So.
Yes, you did.
All right. We had a good time there. I think if I was to do the honeymoon again, I would probably pick an all-inclusive resort in Mexico or something like that. So you could just be a lot more, I could just stay in the room or I could go walk on the beach. With a cruise, there's always so much happening, you know, and you can't really just stay in the room where you end up getting seasick. But I wouldn't.
Mexico's not the same.
Well, if you went to one of the beaches like Cancun or Puerto Vallarta or something like that, you know.
Tourist spots.
On a plane.
On a plane?
Yeah, go on a plane.
Yeah, yeah, well, I'm not gonna drive that far. So, yes, that's what I meant. Take a plane to one of those resorts.
I thought it was nice that it was like you could do as much or as little as you wanted, but it was fun.
It was. It was really fun.
The best part was just relaxing. Because you spend so much time planning the wedding. And it was like, I didn't have to answer questions anymore. That was my thing. Because I'd answered questions for like 6 months straight. What color flowers do you want? What kind of dresses do you want? What is this? What is that? So.
Are you nervous? Are you nervous?
Yeah. Are you nervous? Are you excited? No, I'm not excited.
So that was, it was fun. And then came back. Sarah still had 2 more years of school. We finished that out. Living there on campus at HBU. The apartment that we lived in was half the size of this, of our classroom. It was 450 square feet. So if you think about half of this classroom that we're in right now was the apartment, the bathroom, the kitchen, everything.
Yeah, it was about like your studio area.
Yeah, maybe. So it was good
small.
Though. It was good. Yeah. We're married, no kids at that time. All right, so then we fast forward to 5 years later, we have a kid.
Hold on, wait, can I go back?
Yep.
All right, so how did y'all feel whenever he proposed to you, like that night when y'all went home?
Like, how did I feel about it?
Yeah, like, did he stay over at your house or like?
Oh, no, I was still living at home. No, yeah, no, hang on.
Yeah.
I lived on campus, but it was break. That's
yeah,
what it was.
Christmas
so
break.
I was at home. So, yeah, he came over, like, and like he said, my parents had waited up because it was kind of late by that time. It was like 11 or so.
Maybe.
So, and then his mom had come over, and like he said, they had an ice cream cake and everything. So he stayed over for a little while, and we all just kind of talked and hung out. And then he went home, and I think, like, I just spent the whole night probably thinking, like, did that really happen? Like, is that real? It's a very surreal kind of feeling, you know? Because, you know, you look forward to that your whole life. Most people do. And so when it finally happened, it was great. It wasn't, I didn't feel let down. Like, I've had friends who were like, yeah, I'm kind of disappointed in the way that he proposed to me. And I'm like, that's so sad that that's that big moment and you don't have that excitement about it. But so, yeah, I think it was just kind of like pinching myself through the whole thing. So, same with the wedding. It felt really weird, like, knowing that I was a wife. That was bizarre. And then being a mom, that was, like, a whole other thing. So, but, yeah.
What about you, Jackson?
That night, how did I feel?
Yeah, like, whenever you went home.
I was probably tired. I think I had actually worked that morning when I was in Fort Bend. We had, I think we had soccer games that day or something. And so I think I'd actually worked that morning after being out late with her the night before and then going there, you know, and making sure everything was planned and ready. So I was pretty tired. But, I mean, it's not like it was a shock. It's not like it was like, oh, my gosh, what just happened? You know, I knew it was coming, but definitely excited and relieved she said yes.
Mm-hmm. I think you were probably partly relieved it was over too, because you're so like organized. He had this list that I found later after he had done it of like everyone's jobs for the whole thing. It was so cute because it was like this person's gonna do this and this person's gonna do this, and it was like very detailed. So
it was day after day.
It was day yeah, after day.
It was like 4 days in a row.
Yeah, it was a long 4 days, but it was good.
Aww, I want to get married. I just want to see the proposal, and then after that, I don't care.
Well, see, it's very...
Yeah, I would wait then.
All right, anybody else any more questions about that?
I have a question. Whenever y'all said y'all's vows, like, did y'all cry?
I think I did, probably. I don't think Sarah did. But with Sarah's dad being the pastor, he made vows that were specifically for us.
They were long.
Yeah, they were long. And so
we joked that he had like a whole contract for Jeremy.
Yeah.
He's like, you're going to do this.
Yeah, it was long. And so I remember there was times where I stumbled and be like, can you repeat that? And so what was your original question about the vows? Did we cry? Yeah, so I think I did. I don't think Sarah did at all. But one thing I didn't mention is I had a friend write a song for us to walk out to, and he in that he put some of the like the nickname that I always call Sarah, and so that was in the exit song for our wedding. So that was something that was pretty cool. I didn't just have a regular piece of music, but we had a song going out. So one thing I would say, if you're going to get married afterwards, slow down, take your time, because it's the one, hopefully the one day you ever get married. And I was just trying to get out. I was, you know, when we were walking down the aisle, I was trying to rush and get out so we could move on to the next thing and the reception. And so just slow down, take your time, and enjoy the day a little bit more. But, you know, that's one of the things that I've learned over time. So that'd be a great, great question, Marissa. And that's going to transition us to the next little section I have, is things that I think we do well that kind of keep us together and keep us in love. I know... If you're watching on camera, it's probably really funny because you see Jonah running around and then Sam running around. So it's a great big game for them, but that's really cool. I love Sarah being able to come up here and bring the kids, and especially, you know, today I called her text her at 8 o'clock and said, hey, can you come up? And, you know, now she's here. So it's really awesome. But I think one of the things that we do well is we ask, is there something I can do to help you? So if Sarah's doing dishes, hey, can I help you? If Sarah's doing cooking dinner, hey, can I help you? If Sarah's working on folding clothes, hey, can I help you? You know, she may say yes, she may say no, or she may say, yeah, you can help me by taking care of the boys, or you can help me by, I don't know, doing the dishes while I cook or something like that. But I think that's one of the things we do real well.
I would say that saying, will you forgive me? Like in any relationship, but especially in like boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, wife, all of that. It's one thing to say, I'm sorry, but I know me personally, there have been so many times where I'm like, yeah, I'm sorry. Like, all right, let's just drop it now. But when you say, will you forgive me, it kind of gives it a little more humility. And so it gives that other person a chance to respond too. So that's a big thing. And that was something that was really hard for me to learn.
I agree. And sometimes it's really awkward because you ask, will you forgive me? But there's just been times where I'm like, so is this a time where I would say I forgive you? Or, you know, will you forgive me? It's harder to say than I'm sorry, because I'm sorry is just like, I'm sorry, whatever. But will you forgive me is asking them a question and seeking their forgiveness. So I agree. Good thing. Anything else? Okay. One thing that I definitely learned, a lot of people like to just talk and not get an answer. So me, I like to fix things. I like to make them right. I like to make them work. got it, and that's it. So everything's pretty cut and dry. It's just, let's make it work. I would assume you girls know, but usually as girls, like, you just like to talk to somebody and just have them listen.
Yes.
Well, I'm listening, and I'm figuring out a solution.
I get mad, though.
Yeah, see?
I get mad, like, if I'm talking to you and you're just listening, I'm like, can you say something? Like, you agree or not? Like,
yeah, but you just want me to say, oh, yeah? Or, you know, like,
no,
talk about
that. Oh, yeah.
But, like, talk about what you're saying. Like, say you're telling me a story and, like, oh, yeah, that's interesting. Or, you know, or Rosie Warren, even something like that. Yeah. But, like, Sarah's telling me, you know, I had a bad day at work. The kids peed on the carpet today. I'm like, well... So then I'm thinking, okay, well, can you talk to the teachers before and make sure that they go to the bathroom, or, you know, do a 5-minute check to make sure, you know, but all she really wants is just to tell me that her day was hard. But all I'm trying to do is fix her problem because I love her and I want to take care of her and I want to make things better. But all she really wanted was for me to listen and say, I'm sorry, baby. I'm sorry that happened.
That's what Jonah tells us.
I'm sorry that happened, mommy. Mm-hmm. So then another thing I think is you have to, love is not a thing that's just automatic. You have to choose to love. And so every day when I get up, I can choose to love Sarah, or every day when I get home, I can choose to love Sarah, choose to love my boys. And so I can choose to serve them. And some days it's really hard. Some days either have a bad day, or some days Sarah's done something that makes me mad, and I can either choose to be mad at her. I can choose to do something stupid and hateful, or I can choose to love her and and then maybe in a day or so she says, you know, I'm sorry, I really messed up, will you forgive me? That kind of thing. So that's one thing I've learned, is that it's a choice and that I have to make that every day. So anything else there? Right now she's split between listening to our boys and listening to what I'm saying.
I always have to multitask, make sure they're not dying. I think also just knowing your partner too, like, I know the times that we're more likely to get in an argument is when a lot is going on, or when we haven't seen each other very much, or when, like, when he first gets home from work. It's just figuring out those little things. Like I know that when he gets home from work, he likes to have, like, a little bit of space just to kind of, like, decompress and switch from this mode to, like, husband and father mode. And so I try and, you know, if I greet him at the door and I'm like, oh my gosh, Jonah tried to kill Sam again today and he went to timeout and then this happened and the dog puked on the floor, then it's like a bunch of extra stress that I load onto him. But if I give him that space to kind of come in and, you know, wrestle with the boys for a minute or so, and then I can tell him all the horrible things that happened. But so just knowing that person, knowing like their triggers and, you know, that kind of stuff.
All right, so... We're coming up towards the end, so I want to say some of the ways since, you know, most people who listen to this are probably athletic trainers, but I don't know for sure, but some of the ways that we stay close, we have two kids, you know, like I said earlier, Jonah's 3.5, Sam's 1.5.
Very active kids.
Very active. They're both boys, and, you know, they eat a lot, they wrestle, they're stinky, that kind of stuff, but each night we read a devotional and pray together, but then the devotional usually has questions. So even if the devotional is about forgiveness, we may end up telling a story about what one of the boys did, and then remember a story about, you know, when we were dating, or about, you know, what I did in childhood to pull the dresser down on top of myself, or when, you know, the bunk bed broke and it fell on top of my little brother, that kind of thing. So just talking, we tell stories, and, you know, you end up sharing life together because you're intentional about having a conversation. And so every night we do that, unless I'm out of town, or, you know, some nights where, like when Sarah was pregnant, she would go to sleep early because she wasn't feeling well, she was exhausted, something like that. But pretty much every night we are intentional about reading and talking and praying together. So I think that's really, really important because it builds a lot of conversation and we feel connected, listened to, and shared with. So, all right, I'll keep going.
I have a question.
Go ahead.
How did you feel whenever she had her first baby?
I was excited.
Are you scared?
We didn't find
out. Some
people
faint.
No, the second one I almost did. We didn't find out the gender, so for me it was pretty exciting because I'm right there, and then I'm probably the first one to see that it was, you know, a boy, Jonah, because you know how you can tell there. So I mean, I see, and I'm. It's a boy, and then I'm so excited, and, you know, hand the baby over, and then it's like, so So, you know, it's really exciting. It's really intense, though, because it's somebody you really dearly love going through a lot of pain.
For you.
Yeah.
And for herself.
Yeah. And so, I mean, it's, you know, it's not like you see on movies where they're, like, screaming and cussing at me or anything. But, you know, she's hurting. Mm-hmm. She's, you know, her body is trying to get that baby out. And so it was tough. This with Sam, it was a lot tougher because, I mean, it was a lot more rapid. With Jonah, we were there, like, we got there about 3 in the morning at the hospital. He was born at 1 o'clock?
1:41.
And so with Sam, we got to the hospital 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and he was born at 3 o'clock.
No, we got there, like, at 2:45, and he was born at 3:36.
Yeah.
Oh,
dang. Yeah.
He was like, I'm ready to come out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was the one that he almost passed out on, because it was, like, it was insane how fast it was. I thought I was going to have him in the parking lot. Like, that. That's a whole other story, man. But yeah, he was very, and so I think that one was hard because with Jonah, and I mean, I did both of them. I chose to do them both without pain medication.
The epidural.
And so, yeah, without an epidural. So I had that decision with Jonah. With Sam, I mean, I couldn't have even done it if I wanted to. Like, he was so fast that by the time I got there, I was so far along that it wasn't an option. But so, like, with him, I remember that morning, it was a Sunday. He's making faces. It was a Sunday. So, like, that morning, I played piano in church. I had, like, light contractions or whatever during the morning. And then we get home from church, and I was like, oh, my gosh, this baby's coming soon. Like, we need to go now. And he was, like, he didn't really totally believe me. Like, he had tried to call the doctor, and we were waiting for the doctor to call us back. And,
It was, so, like, 13 days early, so I was like, are you sure?
I was sure. And so, like, we're waiting for the doctor to call us back, and I'm like, we're going now. Like, I don't care if the doctor calls back or anything. You know, we're leaving this house. So, and then we get to the hospital, and he's getting me out of the car, and I'm, like, having heavy contractions on the way into the hospital. This poor maintenance man at the hospital was like, are you okay? Let me get you a wheelchair. And so it was crazy. I mean, yeah, we got there and we were there 45 minutes. They had to check us in after we had the baby. Like, that's how fast it was. It was nuts. So, but it's awesome. It's really a cool experience. But I will say that I was glad for us that we had been married for 5 years already, because some of the things that you have to go through with pregnancy and childbirth are so, like, you just feel, you feel completely unattractive. And so you're just like, I'm glad that, you know, he had already seen me at my best, that it was like we had that relationship where, hello, you know, it wasn't that big of a thing. Because, I mean, you know, obviously you've seen movies and things going through childbirth. It's not anything romantic about it. So, but then afterwards, it's like, I'm pretty sure I didn't wear makeup or fix my hair for probably like 3 months after Jonah was born.
All right. So there's a couple more things I'm going to throw out there real quick, and then I'll let you guys go. One thing that we don't do is we don't watch TV during dinner, or, you know, we put the phones away so that we're spending time together as a family. We schedule date nights. So about every other week we go out, have dinner, have time away from the kids so that it's, we're building our relationship and not just the kids. We attend church together. We serve together there at church. And then obviously Sarah's here with me now. I know you guys have seen her a lot, seen the boys a lot at the games and stuff like that. So she's involved in what I do. And you know, when she's doing stuff at the church, I help her out too. So we're involved in each other's lives and not just, all right, well, you go to work, I'll go to work, and then we won't ever interact, but we're involved in each other's lives. So any last questions before you guys go to lunch?
Do you have any problems with you being an athletic trainer a lot, like working a lot of hours a day?
Sometimes it gets really tough, especially whenever I work from, you know, 6 in the morning till 10 at night. And then if you do that 2 or 3 days in a row, then it's really, really tough because she has to be with the boys all day, all by herself. But you got any?
Yeah, I would say that, I think we talked about this the last time I was on, but that was a long time ago. But yeah, it's hard. It's really hard, especially when you have two little ones, because that means that I'm with the boys all day long. Like, he doesn't get to see them, so it's hard on him. But, like, I'm, you know, the only parent. I'm basically like a single parent on those days. So it's really tough. But just having the regular time together, and then just being intentional with our time together. Like you said, we don't really, We don't watch too much TV when we're together. I do during nap time, but not really when we're together, because we try and use that time to really talk and hang out. So if we do turn something on, a lot of times, every now and then we'll watch a movie or something, but a lot of times it'll be like, you know, he'll get home from a late game and I'll make us hot chocolate and we'll just sit and talk about the day for like 20 minutes. So just being intentional with that time.
Yeah, because I know my dad, he gets home, he takes off his shoes and he lays down on the couch. And my mom's in her room watching TV.
Yeah.
So I'm like, are we going to do anything? I want to go out or something.
Yeah, that's hard. Does he work a lot too?
Yeah, he's a truck driver.
He's a truck driver? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm sure that's really hard.
I have one more question. Right. Do y'all see each other growing old together?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Without a doubt.
Gray hairs and everything.
Yep. He's already started that part. Oh. Yep. I'm turning 30 next month. This year, so I'll be hitting him soon.
Okay, so that pretty much wraps it up. Since the kids are gone now and my kids are going crazy because we don't have anybody watching them. So Jonah's pushing himself around a chair. Sam's poking the microphone. So we're going to pretty much wrap it up. I'm going to go ahead and thank the people that sponsor us. G Hetz, again, CEU opportunities. So you can earn CEUs for just listening to the story of Sarah and I, and how you can take our story and, you know, make it similar to yours, or maybe hopefully use it to inspire a successful marriage in of yourself. So I know it's maybe not developing you professionally, but if you reduce the stress of marriage or divorce, then, you know, you're better as a professional, you're better prepared. So GHEDS offering CEU opportunities is really cool, so I'm thankful for that. PISD Education Foundation does a lot to support us and help us, and so I want to continue to thank them for all that they're doing. And then in a couple weeks, we're going to be talking with some people from grant places that so you can learn how you can earn or write up some grants and some things that'll help you do that well. So almost every single Wednesday, you can catch us live on sportsmedicinebroadcast.com. You can watch live almost every Wednesday on sportsmedicinebroadcast.com. That has links to pretty much every way you can connect with us. PHS Sports Med on Twitter, Sports Medicine Broadcast on Google+, facebook.com/PHS Athletic Training. Thanks for sharing our story with us. For Jeremy, the Sports Medicine crew, my beautiful wife and adorable kids, that's a wrap.